you know what you want for Christmas?
A cute toy.
No, I just want my family back.
That's what I want for Christmas.
We'll see what Santa can do, okay?
It's Christmas, so be of good cheer.
Merry Christmas.
Tis the season to watch telly on Channel 4. Stream now.
Today, you'll learn why so many high-achieving, successful people struggle in dating and how to shift from control to connection using emotional intelligence intentionally. And what Sandra calls the leadership of love, stay to the end for 5 things you can do this week to date better. If it helps, follow The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi on Apple and Spotify and subscribe to your YouTube at Stacey Chalemi Advisor. It helps more people get more real relationship tools. Now, today, my guest is Sandra Myers. She's the founder of Select Date Society, helping people, high-level men and women, find their real aligned relationships. Sandra, it is a pleasure to meet you. Tell everybody a little about yourself and what you do.
Well, thank you for having me, Stacey. I was looking forward to this. Select Date Society, we're a high-level, it's a matchmaking firm for usually ultra-high net worth individuals that have succeeded pretty much everywhere in life, but this is their last piece of the pie that they want to get done.
Right. Now, what's the biggest mindset mistake that high achievers bring into dating?
They think they know how to date. And quite frankly, you know, that's the biggest challenge when I'm looking to work with somebody. You know, yeah. We really vet hard for that, because if somebody thinks they know it all, they're probably not going to do well.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. Now, you work with very successful people. Why do you think people who can run companies, lead teams, hit goals, struggle the most in dating?
I think it's probably because they don't prioritize it as much as they need to. You know, and if you think of every other arena in life, when you went to college, you know, when you came out, when you started your first job, when you're climbing that corporate ladder, you really laser focus on it. A lot of times these very successful people, they try to date, but they're really not giving it the attention that it needs. So that's another part of our vetting process. Like, where does this stack up in your week? Like, how is this going to be prioritized? Because at the end of the day, if it's not a priority, it's not going to work.
That's 100% true. And you said dating can be managed like a project. Like, why not? That it can't be managed like a project is what I meant.
Oh, well, that's okay. You can't manage people. Okay. And that's the biggest misnomer, that if you have a plan, you know, then it will work. And it's like, no, you're dealing with hearts and with egos and with, you know, connection. And the only way connection happens is if you stop planning and really get into your vulnerable state of mind. Because when you're vulnerable, you'll connect. When you're planning and, you know, trying to strategize in this area, you're getting further away from the goal.
And I see that happen all the time when it comes to high achieving individuals. You know, they strategize their relationships like they would at work, and they don't even see that they're doing it. And then they wonder why they're not getting the positive reaction that they're looking for, because that's exactly what it is. It's not a project. You're dealing with hearts, like you said. And, you know, so many people I know, you know, they do that and they don't even realize that they do that.
I know, that's why they're still single.
Now, for someone who's listening, who keeps attracting the wrong people, what's the first thing you want them to look at?
Yeah, so, you know, it's really hard to help who you attract, because I'm not a big fan of telling somebody they need to change how they dress or how they look or they need an upgrade. I want our clients to be who they are. But when you know, you're feeling like you need to put on a show and be performative in this arena, that's where it kind of goes wrong and you attract the wrong people. So that's why, to me, matchmaking is the best avenue to meet somebody, because you take all of your conceptions and your ideas and all your planning out of it and allow somebody to put you in front of somebody that actually is going to make life better. Because I don't know about you, Stacey. The only reason I'm married is because my husband makes my life better.
Yeah, exactly. And it's hard to find those people. It really is. You know, like we mentioned before, you know, a lot of times, you're in a, you know, it's it people you talk all the time that, you know, it's so hard for them to find that right person. And a lot of times people will say, well, when you're not looking for it is when it's going to happen, you know? And I hear people all the time, you don't understand. It's so hard to find that right person. Now, you've talked about leadership of love. What does that mean in a relationship context?
Well, when I'm saying leadership, it's just about, you have to set an example for what you want in return. So you have to lead with treating people the way you want to be treated. And a lot of times, especially with women, they have this kind of self-righteous, well, prove yourself to me first, then I'll show up. And I've done a lot of YouTubes on this. Like, don't wait for things to happen, make them happen. Be what you want to attract. And when you show somebody what you want, then you give them the opportunity to show up that way and fulfill what you're asking for. But men are not mind readers. And that's where women really go wrong, is that they just they're waiting for them to figure them out. And it's like, no, just tell them who you are and let them show up.
Yeah, and I've made that mistake many times too. It's like you expect them to know, but how are they gonna know? And men especially, I feel like you have to direct them because I feel like sometimes, I've been with my husband for 30 years and I still think I'm like, how does he not know that yet? You know, you do have to tell them because they don't know. I think that's so true. Now, how does emotional intelligence actually show up on a date? Like, what does it look like and sound like?
Well, one of the things we do at Select Date Society is we use the Enneagram, and we use this tool so that we can understand how people react to things, how they handle situations. Because yeah, it's absolutely necessary that you have a counterpart, that you're not exactly like the person that you are. You don't want an identical of you. And when you're on a date, a lot of times people will get triggered. That's the word that they use usually. Oh, and he said this, or she said this, it triggered me and it made me want to retreat. And it's like, well, all right, you don't really have the luxury of knowing this person yet. And why don't you put it in the context of how would you treat this person if they were your brother or your sister? Like, how would you want somebody across from your brother or your sister to treat? You want to give them the same respect. So, in jumping to conclusions, that shows emotional lack of intelligence. Just always assuming the worst. I always say, go on a first date like an English muffin, light and airy. Put a smile on and be looking for things that will go well, rather than navigating the checklist and cutting somebody off.
That's great advice. Now, ambitious people hate waiting. How do you refrain patience and pace in dating so they don't rush or ghost?
Yeah, so this is where we come in and help clients a lot, because our testimonial page, I promise you, half those people would not be on there if it weren't for us. Because what most singles tend to do, they hear something and they're like, oh, that's a red flag. Forget this. They check out. Literally, they're still on the date, but they've checked out. And that's where the emotional intelligence comes into play again. It's like, well, okay, it might mean that, but it may not. So let's look for something else we could connect on. Like, always look to move things along. Stacey, I'm sure, like, if you ever interviewed for a job, you didn't go in there and when you heard something wrong, you're like, oh, I'm out of here. No, you still want the job, even if you don't want the the person. And it's the
Yeah.
same thing here. It's like you still should want this person to like you, because who knows who they know?
Exactly.
At the end of the day, they may have a friend and, maybe it didn't work out with you, but they could say, you know what? I have a friend that you would really love to meet. So
Right.
opportunities aren't going to come when you shut down. It's just
Exactly.
childish behavior, and it really doesn't get any further.
That's so true. Now, control versus standards. Like, how do we keep high standards without trying to control the whole process or person?
So, to me, I think you in a first date or one or two dates, you're not going to know how that person naturally shows up because everybody's kind of on their awkward best behavior and
Yeah.
it's not really who they are. You have to get through that third, fourth, fifth date so that you're more comfortable and then the conversation flows naturally. They're not telling you what you want to hear. They're going to share who they are. So
Right.
I always say, you have, if there's chemistry at all, give it a chance. Don't be so quick to judge because I'll tell you, there's so many couples that we've put together that if, again, we weren't involved, they wouldn't be married. And these are beautiful couples that have, even one couple that they just had their child last year, and she didn't even want to meet him. So we have so many instances that the judgment comes too quickly, and you think you're protecting yourself, but you're not.
Right. That's so true. Now, what are some green flags that you want high performers to recognize early so they don't overlook the right person?
Yeah, I mean, you should be looking for how does he, treat other people? Like when you go to the restaurant, did he open the door for you? Did he pull out your chair? Did he ask if you wanted him to order? All those little things. And then how does he treat the wait staff?
Yeah.
Or the valet guy? Is he rude? Is he curt? Is he, you want human decency at the least. So I would be looking for those behaviors. And sometimes you can't really tell all that till second date. And my advice there is do some activity. Don't
Yeah.
just sit again. Because I'll tell you what, you can learn a lot about somebody going bowling or playing mini golf or doing stuff. You realize how competitive they are. You realize, do they lose their manners as soon as they get in a competitive mode? So you
Yeah.
can tell a lot about a person if you put yourself in different environments and don't just sit and eat in front of each other.
I like that. Now, a lot of your clients have public profiles, teams, or big careers. How does your personal life impact your leadership brand?
So my personal life.
Yeah, so how does how does your personal life impact your leadership brand? So how do you separate your work life, your personal life?
Yeah, I don't. It's just that's why I think I was like stuck. That was a good question, but I just wasn't even sure how to answer it because I don't have a job. Like, I get to play every day with the coolest people. And at the end of the day, I'm never thinking, oh, I'm off now.
Right.
So we're a people business. And, it's, I meet people on airplanes that I wind up introducing to clients. It's just happened last week. I met this woman in the bathroom in Maryland, and she was just gorgeous. And I was like, are you single? And she's like, yeah, and she's a nurse anesthetist. She's beautiful, and I was like, oh my God, this is what I'm saying. Like, you're never off. If you
Yeah.
really, really love this business and have a passion for it, you're probably never working, hopefully.
I love that. I love that. Sounds like a great career to be in, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
But what are dating behaviors that can quietly hurt your reputation, your screenshots, your messy socials, or oversharing? What do you have to be careful of?
Well, you have to remember everything that you put out there on social media, it's not going away unless you
Yeah.
cancel your account and start over. So I'm not a big fan of any negativity or commenting negatively. It's like, I don't know. I think that if you're a friend of theirs, then you should talk to them personally. I know with the political stuff, the past couple of years, I see even friends of mine where they're like attacking each other. And I'm like, no, get on the phone, have a conversation. And this really should not be online. But those are the things that I would steer clear of. Any negativity and or posting your picture of yourself, taking a picture of yourself in the mirror. Like that's one thing I can't stand either.
Now, if someone is dating while leading a company or a team, what boundaries do you recommend, like time, disclosure, social media?
Yeah, well, usually people that are ultra high net worth, they're not going to have much social media. You're not really going to be able to find them outside of, stories that have been written about them or whatnot. We have an NDA with our clients, and so anybody that they meet, they know that they can't share that information. But I mean, most people, that's not really necessary. But at the end of the day, if you are high profile or you really want to be discreet, using a matchmaker is a good idea because then they have a legal obligation that can protect you. And when you're dating on your own, I mean, it's very hard to do. I can't imagine showing up on a first date and somebody asking me to sign an NDA.
How do you help high achievers date without being burned out, or and what does like a sustainable dating rhythm look like?
So, we want to go out on all the first dates for our clients. I don't want them to get burnt out. I only want them to meet the people that we vetted to the extent where we honestly feel they're going to go out on a second date. So we keep their exposure of their heart and their time minimal.
I like that. Now, what should women make the first move? What's your opinion?
Yeah, I'm totally for it. I am. And it's so funny because men are like, wow, they tell me stories all the time. I'm like, have you ever been hit on? And they're like, yes. And I loved it. I loved the confidence. And I love the fact that, they're going, somebody wants, a woman wants to go after what they really want just as much as men do. So I'm all for it. Actually, cute little story. My business partner, she went up to her husband in the supermarket. And she asked him if he was single. I mean, she had no problem approaching him. And they're still together, over a decade later.
That's amazing. I love that. Now, is it okay to have a dating list? What do you think?
I don't know. I think what happens is the list just keeps getting longer and longer. And the longer that gets, the further away you're getting from the person that you're meant to be with. I think there's overanalyzation to paralyzation too.
I agree.
You say, well, they have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go running with me. It's like, well, okay. Well, then go join a runner's group. I don't understand. Like it gets so to the minute detail that quite frankly, nobody would ever fit it.
Oh yeah, 100%. My husband gets up at 5:20 to go to the gym in the morning. You will never, ever, ever, ever get me out of bed at 5:20 to go to the gym. Like, you want to go to the gym? That's fine. I'll see you later when you come back. That's my thing. Now, what's a first good first dating question to ask? Like, reveal, that comes to your mind.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always about talking about what's ahead of you instead of getting into, why did you get divorced? All those questions that bring up your past. At the end of the day, why do you want to share all this stuff with somebody if there's no chemistry, if you don't even want to go out with them again? Like to me, a first date, the only thing you should be caring about is, can I have fun? Do I enjoy him? Do I feel good around him? And really just pay attention to that and keep it simple.
I agree. Now, what's the biggest ick for a high value dates right now?
I don't know. I'm not a fan of that word, but as far as that goes, I think most of the time it's just somebody that doesn't act like a grown up, and really has childish behavior and doesn't act appropriately. That For a lot of the women, that's an issue. And also the over drinking. I just did a YouTube about dry dating, which is really not a bad idea, because I think sometimes the drink caused chemistry that then you go out on the second date and you're like, wait, I don't remember not I don't remember feeling this way. I felt way more connected to him on the first date. So, you don't want to overdrink either, because that to me is an ick.
Yeah, that definitely is an ick. Now, Sandra, we told the listeners that we promised them five concrete actions. What would you share? What are the five things that you could do this week to date more intentionally?
Yeah, well, number one, get rid of the list. Number two, give people a chance that you would normally not consider, because that's where the surprise comes, right? It's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Sometimes you look at one and you think it's like, oh no, that's going to be a bad one. And then the other person takes it and it's like, oh, it was the best one of the bunch. So that would be the second one. And the third one, show up with the energy. You're in date mode. Athletes, they get themselves into a mode before they go out on the field or the court. I say you need to do the same thing. You got to put your stress, your day behind you. You need to put some great music on, walk in with a smile. And honestly, that's going to be your biggest icebreaker, is going to be you walking in with that kind of energy, with a big smile on your face, because there's no better way to start a date.
Now tell everybody a little about your service and what it's all about, and tell them where they can people where they can find you.
Well, they can find us at selectdatesociety.com, and we're on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. But our company is really about giving the men and the women that can't use the avenues that everybody else can use, the apps and the online. They can't use that because of their profile, their high profile. So our job is really to give them an avenue to just, to date discreetly, and to be able to feel confident that they're one of a few, not one of many here. They're not going to get lost in the shuffle, and we're going to protect their heart and their time.
I love that. I love that. Now, I think it's so amazing, like what you do. Like, so all people have to do really is just to go on the site and all the information's there. They can join. And then, from there, do they work with you, or is there like, how does it work?
Okay, so when they go to our site, they can go to our inquiry page. So they can fill out their information. If they just want to be a candidate, which is somebody that we consider, they can just add themselves into our network. But if they want to be considered as a client, we've only taken on the 26 clients this year, 27 last year. So we're pretty boutique. But if you want to be considered, all they have to do is fill out the inquiry form, and either myself or Amber or Stephanie, our VP, will reach out to them and we'll get the process started and see if it's a good fit.
I love it. This is amazing. I think this is a great idea. I think this is great what you're doing. It's so important, especially when you're a high profile individual, to find someone. I think, especially when you're high profile, it is very difficult. First of all, the time factor. Second of all, the expectations. Third of all, a lot of guys sometimes get turned off by powerful women. It's hard, and so there are a lot of factors to take in, and so it's great to have someone like yourself who is able to match people, together that could actually work well. They're both high achieving. They understand where where each one comes from, but yet they have different qualities and characteristics, so they can kind of click and, possibly become that forever couple, So I think that's amazing. I think you guys are doing a great job. I think this is great.
Well, thanks, Stacey. No, right now we're at a 90% success rate. We'd want to stay there. And it's just by honestly choosing people wisely and then choosing wisely for them.
100%, definitely. Tell everybody one more time where they can find you so they remember.
Yeah, selectdatesociety.com. And again, we're on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.
This has been great, Sandra. I thank you so much for being on the show. I think it's wonderful what you're doing, and I think it's great to have people like you helping others, find that Mr. or Mrs. Right, because it's so hard out there to especially find the right person. So you're doing a great job, and 90% dollar is exceptionally impressive, I must say.
Well, thank you, and really thank you for having me, because it's been a real pleasure to get to know you and being on your show.
Likewise, you have a great day.
All right, thanks, Stacey.